I would probably say is, in my opinion, one of the finest albums of 2015. Alone in the Universe, Electric Light Orchestra, Jeff Lynne's Electric Light Orchestra, and The Sun Will Shine on You. The Lincoln Drill Hall, according to John Wenham's diary, and it must be right accordingly, is going to be featuring on Friday the 22nd of January at 8 p.m. Limehouse Lizzie, officially one of the hardest working bands in the UK, Sue. Renowned for an action-packed pyrotechnic-fueled explosion of a show. Could we take that, really? They continue to keep the spirit of Celtic rock, or rather Celtic rock, let's be honest. It's not the football team here, Celtic rock. And the Celtic rock icons, Philip Lynott and his band Thin Lizzy alive. Technically, it's Phil Lynott.
Sounds good.
It does indeed. They dominate stages worldwide. They've also added a tribute in their show to ex-Thin Lizzy guitarist and world-renowned solo artist Gary Moore. So it's all splendid. It's at the Lincoln Drill Hall. Ticket £16, concessions £14. On the 22nd of January at 8 p.m. Inquiries to Lincoln Drill Hall 01522 873894. That's Lincoln 873894. News coming up in a matter of seconds from now, as soon as the Sky News people actually press their buttons and give us 2 minutes of unrelenting misery and so on, which is good. It's their way.
Not necessarily. There might be,
some good news today.
There might be something about a little kitten.
No. Lottery winners, yes. Little kittens, unlikely. Still, we'll find out. And after that, of course, Derek Evans, Mr. Motivator, Susan Smart, and more on Siren 107.3 FM.
This is Siren FM.
Ah, splendid stuff. Okay, weather today, high of 3 degrees centigrade, lows of 0 degrees centigrade. It's going to be cold with spells of rain, sleet, and snow. Five seconds of summer. What can we say? Mr. Motivator Derek Evans is waiting for us, and so is Susan Smart, but the landline to on-broadcast technical problems.
Oh, no.
Yeah, spoke to a couple of folk there, spoke to the legend that is, of course, Rachel Abbott. We know Rachel, regular contributor to the programme. Well, in her I don't sort of way. And we spoke to another producer, actually, there, and they both said, TBU, problematic. Could they do us on ISDN? Well, yeah, we switched to another studio to pre-record, but sorry. Never mind. They were very apologetic. And we have done so much coverage about the whole thing as well. It does. Yeah, Mr. Motivator has not motivated the telephonic people to get themselves sorted out. Oh. That's the important thing. Nevertheless, coming up, we will be speaking with Roger Pope to talk about how he maintains that actually shifting careers into actually teaching, no less, can be seen as a very good thing indeed, which we consider arguably a very motivatory factor as well. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, on Thursday the 14th of January, where the sleet is coming down and celebrate winter is still here. Trini Lopez with the original of Gonna Get Along Without You Now. Sue, you have one or two wonderful things about the, talk about motivated and in the right sense of the word, doing the Lincoln 10K for the second time.
I know, I must be a nutter, but I enjoyed it so much last time. I have to say, though, I didn't enjoy the 2 days after doing the 10K, but then therein lies a lesson. Always stretch after exercise, yes. Because I didn't. I was just caught up
down
in the moment.
As important as the warm up.
Yeah, I was caught up in the moment and I was elated and I was jumping around going, oh, I've done it.
Were your family sympathetic? Did they look after you, bring you tea?
Actually, my lovely husband was wonderful afterwards. Yes, he was, to be fair. There was one day where I had to stay in bed because otherwise I would have weeped. My legs felt that sore. But then that was the first 10K I had ever done, so he was very good, very understanding.
How many miles is it? 6 miles.
It's about six.
Okay.
Yes, it's a lot. It's a long way when you've never done it before. Bear in mind that I'm going from couch potato running wise. Couch potato.
I
don't run.
Do
if you see me running, you run in the opposite direction. Generally.
And so you're doing this once again, not only for your own personal motivation, but for what particular cause?
I'm doing it for the Lilly Foundation. The Lilly Foundation are a charity that fund research specifically into genetic disorders, mitochondrial disease and the like. Mm. And they funded some fantastic stuff of late. And I'm doing it in memory of little baby Jack, who was my best friend Alison from university, her little boy, who sadly he died about 18 months, 2 years old, which was really sad. I mean, thankfully, Al and Steve have been absolutely inspirational, and they've done things like running in there. Running in the Brighton Marathon, which, well, I'm not marathon material, I think we can safely say that, but I do what I can for them. So this year, yes, it's the Lilly Foundation, and I can be found on Just Giving.
I was going to say, how can people actually find that?
If you go to the Just Giving page, I think is www.justgiving.co.uk, and if you type in Sue, that's S-U with no E, Royce, R-O-Y-S, and you will find me.
And when is this taking place, Sue?
This is March. Yes, March.
Do we have a date?
Oh, no, it isn't. It's the 17th of April. What am I talking about?
At least you have another month.
It's the 17th of April.
Extra Yes.
All's good with the world. Coming up very shortly, as promised, Roger Pope. Mr. Motivator still working on his motivating things, we'd say. We'll keep our lines open. And, of course, William Sitwell at 9:35. And Natasha Gray at 9:40. Interestingly enough, Sue, where's Bronya?
She's on her way.
Oh, okay then. So teaching, it's a wonderful profession, it's an inspiring profession, it's a wonderful aspect to consider, and yet it still seems as though there's that sort of concern about should you actually make that change, would you change career to actually enter the profession of teaching. In fact, teacher training organisations' data shows that registrations reached 50,000 last year, with almost half coming from other professions. Now, to address this issue and indeed provide some very sage words of advice for people who may be thinking of a career change, we're delighted to be able to welcome the principal of Kingsbridge Community College in Devon and Chief Executive Officer of Academy Southwest, the legendary Roger Pope. How are you, Roger?
I'm fine, Alex. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, Roger, this particular thing, speaking as somebody who's been in the profession in one shape or form, I suppose you could say higher education for 25 years, and then I did 3.5 years comprehensive education, it's something which is very rewarding, but it's one of those areas where there's still always that spectre of the classic line that hangs over the profession, which is those who can do, those who can't teach. Now, clearly we could address that by actually starting to say actually it's more a case of being inspired and having the real sort of satisfaction that you can get from a really rewarding career change and shifting into teaching.
That's absolutely right. And what we find is that people get through the Christmas period, they make their New Year's resolutions, and they think, what can I do which is going to give me a bit more job satisfaction and is going to give me something which is a bit more worthwhile?
Like
to
your
do?
Radio local, tune in to Siren.
Yeah, we had over 500,000 hits on our website, Get Into Teaching, just in that single month. And one of the things which is attracting people is that feeling of doing a job where you are making a real difference to people's lives and you're going home at the end of the day. Yes, you've worked hard, but you've got that enormous feeling of satisfaction.
And of course, that's despite the ever-ending streams of bureaucracy that seems to work through the whole process. Let's look at the sort of the key areas, because inevitably we can go back historically through the history of education in Britain to say there's a demand for the STEM subjects, the science, technology, engineering and maths. They're really the kind of golden geese in many ways to actually be addressed for this whole system. But do you still think it's important that for people who are more interested in the humanities, for instance, that they also maybe consider the career change as well?
Absolutely. We need about 35,000 teachers a year in order to keep pace with the increasing number of pupils in schools and in order to replace the people who are retiring and so forth from the profession. And we need those people across all subjects. You're absolutely right that there is a particular need in subjects like science, maths, modern languages. And that's because there is a new emphasis on those subjects in schools, a new emphasis to say, actually, if we're going to be a competitive worldwide economy, we need people with those skills and with those abilities. And that's why there are some very attractive bursaries available for people who want to train in those science, technology, science and math subjects. So, for example, if you've got a first-class degree in physics, you can get up to £30,000 tax-free bursary now. If you've got a 2-1 or better in maths, then you can get a bursary of £25,000 tax-free, and that is to address those particular subjects.
And you mentioned, obviously, language there. I mean, clearly in your own career, you taught English in schools across the south of England and in Hong Kong. Is there a growing demand for Mandarin as another language that could be taught effectively in schools?
There is indeed, and there are a number of schemes around the country now for increasing the amount of Mandarin taught in schools, but also other modern foreign languages, so whether we're French, German, Spanish, all of those sorts of languages. And actually what's happened historically is that fewer people have gone on to university to take those subjects, and so therefore that then translates into a shortage of those teachers in order to train the next generation. So we need to get people into schools with those subjects, perhaps people who are currently teaching a different subject but have got a language who could make that change, and in that way we then train the next generation and the next generation, and we'll be building all the time.
Talk very much there about the training, and I'm very interested to see that there's a train to teach roadshow that's going to be coming soon. It is quite important because clearly charisma can actually get you a good part of the way to actually sort of working through teaching, etc. But at the same time, it is a skill, it is a profession, it is something you need to work at, whether it's presentation skills, whether it's how you actually channel your enthusiasm and drive for a topic into actually dealing with the multiplicity of young minds that you're likely to be working with in a classroom.
That's right. And there are a number of routes that people can take into teaching where they get that background training. So they can do it in the traditional way through a university, or they can do it by working directly in a school now. And probably what some people who are thinking of changing careers don't realise is that if you have been working for 3 years, you are eligible for a salary whilst you train. And that's obviously very attractive to people who don't want to have a period of no income while they're learning the job. I think the other thing to say is that learning to become a teacher is not something that you just do in a year and then you're kind of signed off and that's it. Schools recognise that over the first 2 or 3 years you're going to need support, and you're going to be working very closely with colleagues to learn those skills that you mentioned. You also mentioned the roadshows there. There are a number actually that are coming to the east of England. So there's one in Nottingham, there's one in Boston, Leicester, Derby, and people can find the dates of those on the website if they want to go and find about a bit more for themselves.
And the website, of course, for the National College for Teaching and Leadership is?
Just search Get Into Teaching. That's the quickest way on, and people will soon find that website, and everything is there.
That makes perfect sense. Roger, what was it about teaching that actually led your good soul to actually say, yeah, this is the profession for me?
Oh, it's that feeling of doing something useful with your life. You know, I always thought I could never live myself if I spent my life working in a cigarette factory. I want to do something which I can actually go home every day thinking, actually, I've done something which is moral and which is worthwhile and which is good. And actually, you have a lot of laughs in teaching because kids are enormously amusing and they always surprise you. They always take you on the hop. And you always go home thinking, yeah, I've learned something too today.
One of the reasons I certainly have always felt moved to actually work within teaching, indeed used to sort of head of a biology sort of session before moving more into communications and such like, was the classic line from the Robert Bolt play Thomas More, where Thomas More actually says to one of his children, when he's thinking of actually going to the city, or should he be a teacher? Be a teacher, he says. It's a good profession. I think it was right for Thomas More. Probably pretty much good enough for us, even in the 21st century. Roger, it's been splendid touching base with your good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link-up with us today on the programme?
Alex, it's been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Roger Pope, Chair of the National College for Teaching and Leadership. Delighted to say that it's Get Into Teaching as opposed to Get Out of Teaching. That's another thing for another time entirely. Take care, and hopefully we'll speak again as the year proceeds.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Welcome to Bronya Sheldon. How are you, Bronya? Alive, well, hale and hearty, we take it.
I'm very well, thank you.
You're year 10 at which school?
Lincoln Minster.
Lincoln Minster. And how are your teachers? No names, obviously, but in terms of, you know, do they motivate you?
No pressure.
Exactly.
Some of them are okay. Yeah, yeah. Some of them are a bit harsh at times, but you've got to be, yeah.
Oh, well, exactly. And of course, the question of the day, which you may have caught earlier, is: have you ever been to Skegness?
No, I haven't.
Good heavens.
No one has.
In Lincolnshire and see, hasn't been to Skegness.
It's just the best kept secret, that's why.
Yeah. So the bottom line, Bronya, is you're here doing a work placement with Siren 107.3 FM. Was this the short straw that effectively somebody has to come here? So no. You thought, we'll end up here then.
No, I'm just interested in music and how everything runs. And I just thought it would be really good to see in the background of how everything works. And it's really interesting.
Ooh. And your year 10, which, as we've just translated, was the fourth form. Back in the day, back in the last century, actually, because I think we had year 10 for...
not that old, thank you, Alex.
Back in ye olden times.
Slate was a very useful device to actually sort of... It's kind of like a modern tablet, really.
Yes. Far more reliable, too.
Precisely. You don't have to worry about Wi-Fi. Oh, don't get me started on my new little tablet and its location on Wi-Fi. Yeah. Oh, Lord. But from your own point of view, Bronya, what have you done so far? I know you started off on Monday with a Vox Pop. Talk to us about what you've done on your placement.
So we went out and made some Vox Pops about... David Bowie, and then yesterday we went to Lincoln Castle and the collection, and I did some Vox Pops there as well, didn't I?
And of course, Vox Pops comes from the original Latin, Vox Populi, and as a good classical scholar, you know that's the voice of the people.
Yes.
Hence Vox Pops.
I did not know that, you know. See?
Yeah. That was like your first day. You learn something new every day. See?
Always try to ensure that classical education comes across, Claire. Yes. That's the important thing. Yeah. Emma, any questions that you'd like to put to Bronya, who's sitting right next to you in the studio for the listener's point of view?
So you say you're interested in music. Do you know, I realise at this young age you might not know what you want to do because, you know, it chops and changes. But do you have any idea of what you kind of want to go into in the future?
Well, I sing and play guitar, and I definitely want to do something with that. Wow. I don't have interest in anything else, but I'm not quite sure what.
So it's definitely music for you?
Yeah.
And artists that you follow or particularly keen on?
Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran.
Taylor Swift consistently emerges.
She's come up so much in
She's
the
incredible,
show.
Alex.
Interesting, Gary Barlow hasn't come into the conversation this week yet.
I feel like we should definitely get some Taylor Swift tunes on.
You feel that's the line.
And then we can have a bit of a dance.
So specifically, are we talking Love Story Back to December, The Story of Us, Sparks Fly, Both of Us, I Knew You Were Trouble, Everything
Love
Has Changed.
Love Story is a good one.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Classic, back in the day.
When they used to use slates and people were actually in the fourth form and so on and so forth on Siren 107.3 FM.
Close my eyes and the flashback starts. I'm standing there on a balcony in summer air. See the lights, see the party, the ball gowns. See you make your way through the crowd and say,
I'm Rupert Baker, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Lefchuk and the team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Very good. Sue, this YouTube channel for Siren News, it exists, but as yet it exists without Bronya. But it will have Bronya
but
on
later on. We'll have Bronya
on.
Later on today, yes.
So that means we'll just wait and hold fire and go to YouTube, obviously youtube.com, type in Siren News to the browser thingy, and then go to clearly the notion of Siren News. And then it will appear. It's probably going to be just before Armistice Day 2015 and interviews with Nikki Barr, Stephen Palmer, Dan Snow and the International Bomber Command Memorial Day.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that because it is important, isn't it, Bronya?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. So, favourite subjects?
Drama, I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Spanish, probably my top two.
Esto es un robo.
What?
No. This is a robbery. It's from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. No, you know, just, it does work. Could help if you're in Spain. You want to hold up a bank.
The only thing I know how to say in Spanish is "Dos cervezas, por favor."
Nice.
Two beers, please.
Which obviously
I'm beer bitter.
Yeah.
There we are. Proof that British tourists can actually order alcohol in in German and Spanish. It's just wonderful. William said, "Well, hopefully I just." Say 9:35 promptly, as I say, we still got to go to Nash and Natasha Gray, all being well. Sue, Gary Barlow is a wonderful person.
So, indeed he is. I'm pleased you concur for a change.
And so is Dan Hadfield. And Dan, of course, who's been in this very studio, is currently working on a new album, which is already out there.
It's been a really exciting week, we've been waiting for quite some time. Dan's been in the studio with his sound producer, Ben Hayes. And he's been doing a lot of the covers that he sings in his shows. It's been a lot of work and he's put a lot of himself into it. And finally, day before, we got the link to say you can pre-order it. So needless to say, I was very quick to get back home, get on the internet and get it ordered. Anybody can order it. You go to www.garybarlowlookalike.com and there will be a link there for somebody else, a GB Take That covers album. And I cannot wait to hear it because if Dan's let this out into the wild, it must be good.
And if you haven't actually had a chance to write that down, note it down, don't forget, these will be available on a podcast fairly shortly. Oh, about 2 or 3 hours. So yeah. Bronya, would you like... I was going to say Bronyan. Bronyan, as we said, Bronya Sheldon. No BS from Bronya. Very important. It'll be a strap line you may or may not want to use. But Bronya, would you like to give a little shout out to your parents, friends, anybody else? It can be quite exciting if they're not listening now because they might not be doing busy things, etc. And I think, oh, it's my daughter on the radio. I missed it. They can listen to the podcast. So what is that shout out going to entail?
A shout out to my friend Annie Krantz.
If you're Bronya's mother or father, don't worry. It's
Annie just, is much more.
it's a youth thing, you know.
You're listening to Siren 107.3. Good morning. Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
Absolutely. We know, Rachel, they have challenges with respect to TBU, but you're always good value for introducing the Sitwell Meister. Good morning, William. How are you?
Very well. Extraordinarily well.
Finally.
Gosh, if only I could properly express my form rating to you.
Oh, I sense it's 10 plus, effectively. It's over 10. It's over. Already, we have entertained Claire Margerison, Emma Tinson, Work Placement, Bronya Sheldon, and Claire Margerison with your views of doggies in the snow. Oh, what joy that was on your site. Well, I mean, you know, it's probably one of the best videos you've ever shared today, really. Very good.
Or was that dogging in the snow?
No, doggies. Doggies.
Oh, sorry.
Doggies in the snow.
Sorry. Yeah. Bad line.
Suddenly, William goes into a whole new zone, really, but never mind.
Why is it when I enter the studio, everything goes wrong?
But I was going to actually talk, because we haven't really had a chance to speak to William more other than just a quick hello, which Emma, you will attest to sort of 2 weeks ago. We said hello, gone, you know, that's it. To actually talk about food trends for 2016, eat charcoal and say hello to the 70s.
Oh my.
Eating charcoal.
So, William, eating charcoal, is this the way forward for the 21st century?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, don't start barbecuing with it. You seep it in water and get the benefit. And start eating purple food.
Yeah. Well, purple food.
I do like purple food. Exactly.
Bronya, are you a purple food person?
Want to have your say?
Thank you. Sometimes William gets on the phone, the experiment gets
it's
so
like
excited.
A curve,
it's anyway, Bronya, purple food?
Never tried any.
Never tried any purple food.
Beetroot or purple sprouts and broccoli or
red onions?
Purple carrots are really good.
Purple broccoli.
Purple carrots and purple broccoli, really good.
I've not even heard of that.
Purple cauliflower.
Yes.
Yeah. See,
purple rain.
Oh, that's a tune. Yes.
It's that Prince gone full circle on the whole system. But other than that, let's share, William, the big question of the day. Have you ever been to Skegness?
Of course not.
It looks, Sue, as though, I mean, this has been working through from Natalie to Arthur McKenzie, Ian Lennox. I suspect Mr. Motivator, if we'd reached him, we'd probably have said the same. No. The Skegness question is not looking
you
good.
You are alone.
But what I would say is there's some quite good chefs that have come out of Skegness. Jason Atherton, he's
absolutely.
A Skeggy boy.
Mm, absolutely.
And there's a few chefs in London who've come out of Skeggy.
Mm.
So it's not all bad. And the key thing about Skegness is that if there is any talent there, that it leaves.
Regrettably, I'm afraid it does. Yes, the retention of our talent is somewhat hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's not so much a case of leaving Skegness as escaping.
Yes, you could say that, but people do come back, even if it's just to remind themselves of why they left.
Spreading the Skegness magic.
Yeah,
across
the
country.
The big question really is why anyone's still in Lincoln.
Do not dislike
on that basis. I'm going to show the team a photograph of your good self with knives in hand and the festive jumper. That is a
I
scary
love your Christmas
photograph.
Jumper.
Yeah.
That's quite a menacing photo, actually.
It is actually.
Great. Yeah.
The normal William Sitwell, Clark Kent-esque, wonderful, charming, mild-mannered, erudite individual that we like to feature on a regular basis here suddenly manifests into Hannibal Lecter.
But Lincoln is a great place for culinary things. Putting my flag up for Lincolnshire food.
Go for
sausages.
Yeah, Lincolnshire sausages. Yeah, the cheeses, poacher cheese, and Coat Hill Blue. So I have it on good authority. It's even served at Lord's. It's that good.
So what are you doing at present, William? And where are you? More to the point.
Well, right now I'm in Knightsbridge in London, mm-hmm. And I'm actually only a few yards away from where Julian Assange is hiding out. I often wonder whether he sends out for fresh underwear, something that's been concerning me ever since he holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Mm. This is very true, because, I mean, if you'd like to obviously sort of feature him on Soho Radio, and we could obviously take him on Siren as well, we'd be available to have a little chat with Julien, talk about, I don't know, some leaks in the media, I would have thought, or various that sort of...
I mean, yeah, you have to wonder, what's he been eating down in that basement?
Mm. Who knows?
Will he ever escape?
And that's presumably the rationale for sharing extreme sports video. I'm sorry, I know it's radio, but to actually sort of focus on your particular thing, why did you actually go for this extreme sports scenario of times past? Bear in mind that Sue Rice, of course, is going to be doing the Lincoln 10K this year for the second time, so this could be a useful training exercise.
I should probably explain to your listener in the village that I shared that video because it was a video of people kind of scaling buildings and jumping from one building to the next, probably taken in the kind of 1930s.
Mm.
And it shows that, you know, there have been... The most disturbing one is a man crawling up the side of a building with a child on his back.
Mm. Forget health and safety.
Oh, we're seeing it now.
That's what you call work placement, Bronya. That's real work placement.
Yeah.
Yeah, do a vox pop on that, and it's a whole new world. Yeah, no crash helmets, just go with the whole thing. Did it do them any harm? Well, they're dead now, but never mind.
It certainly brings a new meaning to core strength, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly.
I feel that these links remain as surreal as ever, including, of course, the Skegness question, which you couldn't even spit it out. And Emma, I know you're the only person whose vocal talents could sort of merit this. Before we go to actress Natasha Gray, would you like to ask those last two questions to William Sitwell, please?
Yes, of course. William, have you had a reasonably good, even though it was a bit short, telephonic link with us this morning?
It's been fantastic. It's nice to come on the radio and talk about absolutely nothing.
Nice.
Novel.
Exactly.
That's what we do.
We've set the scene for the upcoming multimedia approach of the Today programme, I feel, in many ways. That's what it's all about. Lots of smiley faces, lots of strange videos. Let's move over it. And the next one, Emma.
So would you like to come on and talk about nothing again sometime?
Please, as soon
Lovely.
As possible.
That'd be 9:35 then, a whole new time. A round of applause for William Sitwell, please.
Yay!
Is Sue, did you perform as Prince or the artist formerly known as or Squiggle? I mean, what sort of era of Prince would you say that's the one for me?
I would say that this era when he was called Prince, when he was proper Prince, not some Squiggle, or formerly known as, was yeah.
Personally, I feel that the one thing which would mean perfection in every sense of the word but would be the Alan Ayckbourn comedy Round and Around the Garden, with music by Prince and featuring the tremendously talented, extraordinarily wonderful actress Natasha Gray. That's basically, you know, ultimate sort of. I mean, can we actually put that together? I think we've got Prince, obviously. We've got Round and Around. Have we got Natasha Gray? Natasha, are you there?
I am there, yeah.
Hey, there we are. Very impressed with the IMDb photograph, Natasha. I love the coquettish look back over the shoulder there. That's very good. Very impressed with that. Yes. That's great stuff.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm just reeling from the thought of Round Around the Garden set to a Prince trout. Soundtrack,
yeah.
I suppose it could work.
We have said many a time to the fine folk at the Darlington Civic Theatre, Julian Cowan, of course, being one of those fine folk, etc., as marketing officer, you know, bring in Prince, you know, just feed it through. You know, it's kind of like a dramatic mashup, Natasha.
Absolutely. I think it could work.
Certainly suggest it to the Talking Scarlet Company. Who knows?
I will do.
It could be
I
just a whole new routine. So, for those folk who aren't familiar with the classic Alan Ayckbourn piece, Round and Around the Garden, notice the way we rolled our R's there. Lambda would have been very proud of this whole thing, which is appearing at the Darlington Civic Theatre from Monday the 18th to Wednesday the 20th of January next week. You can follow Norman, his in-laws, and the local vet over one summer weekend in a Sussex country house. What happens, Natasha? How does it all connect together?
Well, Ayckbourn, being the genius that he is, wrote three plays that actually all happen on the same weekend. And they're not happening one after the other. They're all happening at the same time, but he's very cleverly put them all in different parts of the house. Mm. So last year we did Table Manners, which was what was happening in the dining room on this weekend. And then there's Living Together, which is what happens in the living room on that weekend. And this one is what happens in the garden. So when I did Table Manners, my character sort of stormed out of the dining room at one point and went into the garden. And now we sort of see what happened in the garden.
That's
in
such
this
a good
play.
Idea.
Yeah. You see,
yeah.
This brings
but
it to
the
life.
Thing is, you don't have to have seen the other plays. Each one stands up totally on its own, which is where he's been so clever. And basically, it's set on a sunny day in a sort of quintessential English garden, an old, big old house, country house that belongs to Mother, who we never see. Mother's upstairs. Mother's quite a battle axe, we think, and a bit of a hypochondriac, so she's permanently in bed. And everybody sort of runs up and down with trays all weekend for her, but we never see her. And she has three grown-up children, a boy and two girls, so three siblings, and all their partners come down the same weekend. So we have all six of them, the three siblings and their spouses. And it's really all about those interwoven relationships. Norman is the husband of the youngest sister, Ruth, and he is really the one that puts the cat amongst the pigeons because he's a bit of a ladies' man. So although he's married to Ruth, he's also flirting with the Sarah and Annie, the two other, his sister-in-laws, sisters-in-law. And of course, there's lots of underlying things going on in every scene, but a lot of comedy. And it's just great fun. And it's sort of like a dysfunctional family. we've all got those, I think.
At times wildly comic, at times poignant. It's the whole experience in life. And take that Sigmund Freud is what I'd say, as far as you're concerned,
yes,
Claire Margaris.
Definitely.
You know, you can do a Freudian analysis. It's not going to work with Alan Ayckbourn. That's the important thing. Emma, any questions?
Yeah, I mean, it has got poignant moments and dark. You know, although it's very funny, there is something about it that does make us think about the human, you know, the relationships, and that the some of the characters,
the condition,
you feel are quite lonely. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what happens when you get a call from one of your agents saying, "Can you do a radio piece at 9:40 in the morning?" When normally you think, "What's going on?" You need to read. Emma, any questions for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I love watching like a comedic play in the theatre. I think there's something very personal about it, and it's more enjoyable as the whole audience sort of laughs together. But do you find that it's harder than doing it perhaps on television, or is it easier doing it in the theatre, do you think?
For most actors, they would say their first love was the theatre, because, as you say, it's that nothing really beats that kind of live experience, and you're all sharing that together, and it's a kind of organic thing, isn't it, that's happening and evolving in front of the audience's eyes, and there's that feeling of anything could happen. And I think that's what most actors love. And television's great fun as well, but I suppose you've always got that safety net, haven't you, of doing it again. And in theatre, it's the adrenaline's really going because it's sort of now or never, and you've got to perform in that moment. So I prefer theatre, as I think a lot of actors do, although television's obviously great and quite lucrative if you can get it.
It's the old line factor. But listen, the fact is there's very nearly a close connection between Natasha Gray and one of our regular correspondents, of course, Graham Harper, because Graham, of course, one of his key directorial moments was The New Statesman. Tragically, Life at Westminster was actually directed by Jeffrey Sachs. But they worked together in various other routines. But other than that, I just thought, what a wonderful connection. It feels as though Natasha's been destined to sort of, you know, take your Casualty, your Emmerdale, The Bill, and, of course, my personal favourite from 1993, Uncle Jack and Cleopatra's Mummy.
You don't really remember that, do you?
Oh, Imelda Potty. what's not to love? Or is it Imelda Pot? You know,
Imelda Potty. Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah. Exactly, Imelda Potty.
That was great fun to do, actually. As was The New Statesman, actually. I mean, that was watching Rick Mail seriously. You know, working was quite an experience, because I remember getting the script for that and reading through this quite long, dry speech that Rick Mail's character had, and thinking, gosh, you know, that's quite pedestrian in a way, and not that funny. But when you see him at work, the way he took the speech and made it so funny, he really was a genius in that area.
And generally wonderful. Got to ask the question because, I mean, not that it's a fashion routine, but Richard Fitzwilliam's obviously our regular sort of Golden Globe award-winning correspondent and so on. Natasha, where was the photograph on your IMDb area taken? Because you're wearing a stunning top. I think it's fair to say a very colourful, very stunning top.
Yes.
Is that?
I don't think that's me.
Well, fair enough then. That's okay then. It's obviously, in which case it clearly... That's IMDb for you. Forget it.
Yeah, I think that might be someone else, because I saw that a while ago and I thought,
that's
I
not
don't
me.
Remember this. I don't that's think right. it is me,
yeah,
actually. Yeah.
And yet the biography seems to be perfectly okay. Well, let's just check that. Yeah. Let's sort of test the whole routine. An Angel at My Table, tick.
Yes.
Emmerdale, tick.
Yes.
My Husband and I, tick.
Yeah.
So there we are. And yeah, photo gallery, possibly. It's
I
all
think
right.
Got the wrong photo in
Graham
there,
has
yes,
a similar challenge. It happens.
all those credits were true. And in fact, talking of Emmerdale, the guy who plays my husband in Round and Round the Garden, Kevin Pallister, was also in Emmerdale, and that's where we first met doing Emmerdale. He was playing Graham, the baddie. He was in Emmerdale for years and was a nasty piece of work. I think he pushed someone over the cliff in the end. He and I are now working together again.
But not being pushed over cliffs. Because let's face it, they're actors, you know?
Although they do have quite a rocky relationship. They're a sort of suburban, bickering, you know, English couple that just get on each other's nerves generally. So they're good fun to play.
Always challenging. But the key thing is, as I say, bear in mind it's not necessarily real. Although Emmerdale has been best described as sex, lies and sheep dip back in the day.
Oh, what a great thing. Yeah, sort of great way to put it. Well, it's changed a bit, hasn't it?
Oh,
just a bit Emmerdale Farm.
Yeah, from when Molly Sugden was in, yes.
Well, anyway.
It was all very gentle in those days.
It used to be filmed in over in Wheaton, didn't it? In North Yorkshire. That's like where my friends grew up there, and they were like, "Oh, Emmerdale was filmed
Amos
there once."
And such like excitement.
Yeah. Absolutely, it was gentle.
Be the same if you're in Hollyoaks, really, these days.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, it's all a lot more raunchy now.
And that may or may not be a good thing, but we'll discuss that another time, Natasha. Moving on, Sue. Any questions from yourself?
Yes. The Round and Round the Garden runs from the in the Darlington Civic Centre from Monday
next
the 18th.
Week.
Yes,
yeah,
Monday
next
the 18th
week.
to Wednesday the 21st. Put my teeth back in. 20th of January. Is it going on tour after Darlington? Where is it going after that?
It is going on tour, and in fact, Darlington is our first date. So we did 3 weeks at Eastbourne at the Devonshire Park, which was lovely. Then we had a little break and we did a little stint at Poole at the Lighthouse. And now we're off on a sort of really quite a long national tour of all sorts of places. It's about 10 or 12 weeks and we're going, starting at Darlington, so that's going to be a great sort of kickoff there. And then we're going on to Coventry, Lichfield, Cheltenham, Malvern, Harrogate, Stevenage, Croydon, Winchester, Basildon, Basingstoke.
Gosh!
See, the quality with Natasha is, I mean, there are actors who come on and do these sort of promos things. They haven't got a clue. Unless you actually got the website to actually come up, they don't know where they are next week, etc. Natasha, straight on, you know, finger on the pulse there.
It's
only because I've been trying to sort of be organised and book up digs and places to stay that I've been going.
Well, I'm from Harrogate and Harrogate's lovely. I'll have to get my family to come see you.
Oh, yes, I believe everyone tells me Harrogate's lovely.
It really is.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes, don't worry, Natasha, it's not like Skegness.
Unfortunately, the only problem with Harrogate is we're literally going there the night after we play Western Supermare.
Oh,
my word.
That journey, I think, might be a killer.
Yeah.
But if anybody can cope, Natasha, you can.
Ah, thank you.
Is there a web address that people can actually find out more details about the production in any way, shape, or form? I mean, obviously, you can go to the darlingtoncivic.co.uk, but I'm thinking about the actual company itself. Do you have a website from that point of view?
I'm not sure what the website is, but I know if you go to Talking Scarlet.
That's exactly it. We will find the process there. Talking Scarlet.
That's the name of the production company, and you'll be able to follow the tour dates definitely on there and read a little bit more about the play. But I think basically
it used to be Big Dog Productions, of course.
Pardon?
It used to be Big Dog Productions. Back in 2001. Yeah, it's very strange. Right. We've had a sort of animal theme to the whole sort of sequence on the whole system. But anyway, that's part and parcel of the whole sort of routine that's there. And it reaches us to those last two questions, or brings us to those last two questions. And Tasha, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for your good self?
Yes, it's been great. It's been really nice to talk to you.
Excellent. Any particular musical choice you'd like to see the team off with? I mean, any sort of artist that you sort of think, yes, I think we should have a little bit of that?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Mm. Well, I'm a great fan of Annie Lennox, so anything by her would be great.
Good. I think
But otherwise, as a tribute to David Bowie, if you haven't had it before, I love Kooks.
All very good, but perhaps will Annie Lennox Walking on Broken Glass, which could almost be written for an Eightbourne play.
Fantastic.
So all things.
As a final thing, I would say that as it's turning colder, We've got a wonderful set, and I just wanted to put that in there because we're really lucky, and it really is like an English garden and an old English house, so we're quite proud of that. So I think it would be nice to be transported to a warm, sunny English garden in this weather. Yes.
Definitely.
Just makes perfect sense. So, Natasha, can we prevail upon you to join us hopefully in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of how the tour's going?
I'd love to, yeah.
A round of applause for Natasha Gray, please. Yay! And we get there in the end. Natasha, take care. We salute you. Keep on keeping on. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Smidgen of Annie Lennox there. So thanks to Natalie Tuck, Arthur McKenzie, Ian Lennox, and Roger Pope, and William Sitwell, and Claire Margerison, and Emma Tinson, and Bronya Sheldon, and Sue Royce, and you, dear listener. That's it. We're out of here. Back with the Midweek Drive next Wednesday, I take it, Claire?
Yes, indeed.
Emma?
Yes, indeed.
And Bronya, I trust you've had a wonderful time. Would you like to mention something, thanking your parents just for being here? Because otherwise, they might not let you in the house again.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show as well.
It's a genuine delight. And Sue, would you like to sort of remind people how people can support you on Just Giving?
Yes, it's www.justgiving.co.uk. Type in Sue Royce and you'll find me. Thank you very much.
Excellent. That's it for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for the second of shows in January, January 14, 2016. Have a splendid day. Much more great stuff coming up on Siren. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye.
The latest news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Cleveland's first community.